When the child was a month old, Wang Lung's son, its father, gave the birth feast, and to it he invited guests from the town and his wife's father and mother and all the great of the town. And he had dyed scarlet many hundreds of hen's eggs, and these he gave to every guest and to any who sent guests, and there was feasting and joy through the house, for the child was a goodly fat boy, and he had passed his 10th day and lived, and this was a fear gone, and they all rejoiced. And when the birth feast was over, Wang Lung's son came to his father, and he said, "Now that there are the three generations in this house, we should have the tablets of ancestors that great families have, and we should set the tablets up to be worshipped at the feast days, for we are an established family now." This pleased Wang Lung greatly, and so he ordered it, and so it was carried out, and there in the great hall the row of tablets was set up, his grandfather's name on one, and then his father's, and the spaces left empty for Wang Lung's name and his son's when they should die. And Wang Lung's son bought an incense urn and set it before the tablets. When this was finished, Wang Lung remembered the red robe he had promised the Goddess of Mercy, and so he went to the temple to give the money for it. And then, on his way back, as if the gods cannot bear to give freely and not hide sting somewhere in the gift, one came running from the harvest fields to tell him that Ching lay dying suddenly and had asked if Wang Lung would come to see him die. Wang Lung, hearing the panting runner, cried angrily, "Now I suppose that a cursed pair in the temple are jealous because I gave a red robe to a town goddess, and I suppose they do not know they have no power over childbirth and only over land." And although his noon meal stood ready for him to eat, he would not take up his chopsticks, although Lotus called loudly to him to wait until after the evening sun came. He would not stay for her, and he went out. Then when Lotus saw he did not heed her, she sent a slave after him with an umbrella of oiled paper, but so fast did Wang Lung run that the stout maid had difficulty in holding the umbrella over his head. Wang Lung went at once to the room where Ching had been laid, and he called out loudly to anyone, "Now how did all this come about?" The room was full of laborers crowding about, and they answered in confusion and haste, "He would work himself at the threshing. We told him not at his age. There was a laborer who is newly hired. He could not hold the flail rightly, and Ching would show him. It is labor too hard for an old man." Then Wang Lung called out in a terrible voice, "Bring me this laborer." And they pushed the man in front before Wang Lung, and he stood there trembling and his bare knees knocking together, a great, ruddy, coarse country lad, with his teeth sticking out in a shelf over his lower lip and round dull eyes like an ox's eyes. But Wang Lung had no pity on him. He slapped the lad on both his cheeks, and he took the umbrella from the slave's hand, and he beat the lad about the head, and none dared stop him lest his anger go into his blood and at his age poison him. And the bumpkin stood it humbly, blubbering a little and sucking his teeth. Then Ching moaned from the bed where he lay, and Wang Lung threw down the umbrella, and he cried out, "Now this one will die while I am beating a fool."